بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. الحمد لله, all praise and thanks to Almighty Allah Ta'ala. We have now reached what we call our second part of Surah Yusuf, of the life story of Yusuf alayhi salam. And last time we had stopped at the point where the brothers now had sold Yusuf alayhi salam off. That caravan that was heading to Egypt had taken him and they were off to Egypt. Now, when this caravan was proceeding and leaving, the brothers were following the caravan. They were watching closely, making sure that Yusuf alayhi salam does not escape. And when the caravan reached a far enough distance where they were satisfied, they were happy that Yusuf alayhi salam will not come back now. He is gone, they have taken him in, they were settled, and they returned back. This caravan proceeded to Egypt. Now, Egypt of that time was what we'll say the America, the Europe of today's time. It was happening, it was the hub of the slave trade. Anyone who wanted to sell a slave, or to sell anything for that matter, they would take it to Egypt, and more than likely, definitely, it will get sold. So this caravan took Yusuf alayhi salam to the markets of Egypt. They presented him there and he got auctioned off. Whilst there were many that bidded for Yusuf alayhi salam. Imagine seeing a young boy of the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. And when you look at a person, you can see there is potential. You can see there is greatness within a person. Allah Ta'ala put it in the heart of the minister of Egypt, who was the finance minister, was in a high position in Egypt. He was in that gathering. Look at, this is the plan of Allah Ta'ala. This is the divine plan that no one can understand, but has to accept and understand that my Allah knows best whatever is to happen. So this minister was there at the time when Yusuf alayhi salam was getting auctioned off. And Allah Ta'ala put this love and this inclination for Yusuf alayhi salam in the heart of this minister. And he bidded and he bidded, and eventually he had purchased Yusuf alayhi salam. From this we also understand that the great price that went for Yusuf alayhi salam, that a minister ended off buying Yusuf alayhi salam. So what price he ended up going? Some of the books of tafsir mention that Yusuf alayhi salam's bid went so high that his weight equal in gold amount, that's what he was sold for. So that was the honor that Yusuf alayhi salam was given. Even in such a predicament, such a position, Allah Ta'ala still never let him go unvalued. The minister now purchased Yusuf alayhi salam, took him in. But look at the way Quran explains how the minister was to treat Yusuf alayhi salam. It was not going to be like a normal slave a person purchases, and now do this work, that menial work, and treat him anyhow. وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِصْرَ لِمْرَأَتِي أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ عَسَىٰ أَيَّنْ فَعَنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا. Now imagine, for a slave, for just purchasing, a person will not say such words if he could not see there is greatness in this person. What did the minister say? He said to his wife, keep him honorably, perhaps, maybe, he will be useful to us, or we may even adopt him as a son. For a person to say such a statement just on purchasing a slave, that in itself will show you how his heart has turned towards this person. And like this, we see the plan of Allah Ta'ala. Imagine, from the house of his father, then with the jealousy of his brothers, thrown into the well, the darkness of the well, taken out of the well, becoming a slave, going to the slave market, being sold. And from there, Allah could have made him enter into any house, but Allah chose the house of the minister. وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And like this year, we had placed Yusuf in the land. We had settled him in the land. وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِن تَعْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. So in this way, he will know the interpretation of matters, the correct way of dealing with things. Now previously we mentioned that Allah Ta'ala, when Yaqub alayhi salam told Yusuf alayhi salam that Allah Ta'ala will teach you these matters, That was the interpretation of dreams we mentioned, as well as general life, how to interpret things, how to understand the happenings of society, the kingdom of running, of ruling, and what a house Allah had chosen for Yusuf alayhi salam, the house of a minister. Why? Because in this house of the minister, imagine how many rulers will enter, how many honorable people will enter. Yusuf alayhi salam will witness how the leaders deal with each other. He will witness the running of the country. He will be learning all this. So Allah Ta'ala empowered Yusuf alayhi salam by putting him in such a position. And not knowing the divine plan of Allah Ta'ala, Allah was preparing Yusuf alayhi salam for that great moment where he will rule Egypt. All this we take lesson for in our life. Sometimes we don't know why things happen. And we think, why is my life going in such a mess? Why am I being ruined? What is happening? Trust Allah. Tawakkal ala Allah. Trust Allah. Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah. Oh Allah, in you alone I trust. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Hasbi Allah. Allah is sufficient. Allah is the only one. At this very moment in my life, it looks like I lost my job. It looks like my marriage broke off. It looks like my child passed away. Such depression, such pain, such sadness, such grief. But remember, Allah got a plan. And this is why the story of Surah Yusuf is so beautiful. So beautiful. The amount of lessons that can be mentioned. But we will just stick to the main ones. But a person himself reading Surah Yusuf and the life story of Yusuf alayhi salam will gain solace, will gain happiness. And this is one of the reasons that Allah Ta'ala revealed this life story and the surah to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a comfort to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced very similar circumstances, being banished from his town, his own family, his own friends, all casting him out, being exiled, being chased out, being wanted to be killed. And now the story of Surah Yusuf alayhi wa sallam was revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How much solace and comfort this brought to the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, he grew up in the house of the minister, and for many, many, many years he stayed in this manner. The wife of the minister, whose name we come to know as Zulaykha, he grew up under her care, and she grew up with him in the house. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. When Yusuf alayhi salam reached the age of power, of strength, then Allah Ta'ala granted him this hikmat, this wisdom and knowledge, such knowledge, such wisdom. وَكَذَٰلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Definitely this is the way Allah Ta'ala, He rewards, He recompensates the good doers. In our life, if we want things to come right, we have to turn to Allah. We have to turn to Allah Ta'ala in complete submission, trusting Allah. Allah will open such doors that we never even fathom, we never even ponder, we never even think. Me? I in that position now. If a person just has to look back in his life and think from where and where I came and how Allah has now elevated me and raised me. Growing up in the house, Yusuf alayhi salam understand very well. In the hadith we learned, Rasulullah salam mentioned, Yusuf alayhi salam was given half of the beauty of mankind. Half of the beauty of mankind. What beauty, what awe, what handsomeness the world has never seen like that day at that time. Growing up now in the house of Zulaykha, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِي وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابَ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكَ. Zulaykha now, imagine seeing this youngster growing up full of strength, full of energy, in the prime of his life, in the peak of his age. She fell to the temptations of shaitan, to the temptations of nafs, that I want to just give in now. I can't handle it anymore. Night and day, this person is in my house. This beauty I have to put up with. The Quran mentions, in the house of Zulaykha, in her own house, she tried to seduce Yusuf alayhi salam. She closed all the doors. She closed all the doors. Now, Quran, every word is beautiful. Allah Ta'ala mentions in her house this happened. She's trying to show that all the options of zina, all the avenues for Yusuf alayhi salam to give in was made so, so easy for him. Na'udhu billah, if in today's time a person wants to commit adultery, he wants to fornicate. Today, there is so many avenues a person has to do, but even then too, he has to make some sort of effort. He has to worry not to get caught. So watch his back. So many numbers he could phone. So readily available. So many places they are offering it. But he still has to make that effort of worrying. I'm leaving my house. Anyone is watching me. Who's seeing where my car is going? My tracker on my car. Anyone is seeing. I'm entering that premises there. Who's going to see me? Maybe the cameras are watching. Maybe they got some secret footage to blackmail me after that. So even though he is inclined in today's time to the sin and the great sin of zina, this worry and the concern of all the precautions that need to be done in order to save face and to save his reputation whilst he fulfills this evil deed is still playing in his mind. Here, Yusuf alayhi salam, in his own house, in the house of Zulaikha, where they all stayed, here the woman herself is coming to him. She closes all the doors. They are in the house. No one will ever know what happened. Compared to him having to leave, people might say, where are you going at this hour or this time? Everything was made so easy for Yusuf alayhi salam to commit the deed. But the men of Allah, the Nabi of Allah, nothing fazes them. No matter how much the temptation is in front of them, they always have Allah in their sight. قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Before we explain that point, that is why it is mentioned in the hadith that one of the groups of people who will be granted the shade of the arsh of Allah Ta'ala is that person who was called towards zina by a beautiful woman. And he says, I fear Allah. He has this taqwa in his heart. He resists and he turns away. I fear Allah Ta'ala. It's not an easy thing. That's why one of those groups, imagine having the shade of the arsh on the day of Qiyamah, is not something light. That means to be part of that group, you have to be gone, be given such a great test, and you pass that test that now you fulfill the requirement to be in the shade of the arsh, in the special favors and bounties of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. And many a times a person sees this here. The test is when it's a beautiful woman, a woman who is appealing to you. Sometimes a person say, hey, this woman came to me. I said, no. But that woman wasn't even attractive for you. She wasn't even pleasing to see. People might run away from her. So that's not the true test. The true test is where that woman, truly you want to fulfill that desire of yours. You are attracted towards her. And now you say, oh Allah, for you I am resisting. For you I am not going through with it. So Yusuf alayhi salam said, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ, I seek protection. I seek safety, refuge in Allah. Turning to Allah, that only Allah can save me. I can't trust myself. I can't. إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ. Yusuf alayhi salam that said, my master, this is referring now to the king, to the minister, to the wife of Zulaikha, to the husband of Zulaikha, that you, my master, your husband, he has been so kind to me. He has brought me into his house. He has taken me like his own son. He has raised me. He has given me this special honor. And by entering into his house, I've been given the food of the minister. Such great food that normal people don't have. The clothing, the comforts, everything. And now I must be unfaithful to my master, to the person who has taken care, such good care of me. I can't do this. Thinking of the favors that was done to him. And now this is the wife of his that is approaching him. And saying, no, I can't do it. I can't. When we ever want to do anything to someone, just remember the favors they have done to us. That now maybe it's a bit of a bad spun now. Maybe now we're not seeing eye to eye. And I want to puncture his tire. I want to do this to him. But all those other times, how kind he was to me. How much he helped me. The good words he said. Now if we can do that for people, think of Allah. How much of favors Allah has given us. This healthy body, a roof over our head, food to eat, water to drink. How much Allah has given us throughout our life. And now with a little bit of difficulty, or with a lot of affluence even, now we want to go against Allah. We want to break the commands of Allah. Just remember the statement of Yusuf alayhi salam, إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ. My master, the one who has given me everything. And we will say, oh my Allah, you have given me everything. How can I go against you? Inna la yuflihu al-zalimun. That definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, those that are oppressive, those who are unjust, they are never successful. They are never successful. So Zulaykha, this was how this seduction started. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِي. She desired him. She wanted him. وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرَّأَ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّي. And he, Yusuf alayhi salam, he would have desired her had it not been for the clear proof of Allah Ta'ala, for the clear sign of Allah Ta'ala. He would have desired her. This is very, very important to understand. Many a times people misunderstand this verse or misinterpret it to say that Yusuf alayhi salam also desired Zulaykha. No. Remember, our belief is all the Anbiya alayhim salam are ma'soom. They are safeguarded from all forms of sin. So even Yusuf alayhi salam, for this sin also, he was safeguarded. This Burhan, many, many understanding explanations has been given. But the most easiest and one for us to understand is that the sign of Allah, the sign of Nabuwat, was given to him. He was safeguarded. Was it not for the safety that Allah had given him that his heart turned away, immediately turning to Allah, away from that sin? Perhaps then he would have fell for the deed. To show that everything was there. The only thing that protected Yusuf alayhi salam was the power of Allah, was the protection of Allah Ta'ala. It was not his doing. It was not his desires turning away. But it was Allah Ta'ala that protected him. Us too, the sins in our life, it is not us that will pull us ourselves out. But it is us turning to Allah. That, oh Allah, only you can take me out of the sin. Only you can disincline my heart from going towards the sin. Whether it's music, whether it's television, whether it's pornography, whatever it might be. Oh Allah, only you can do it. وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرْرَآ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّي. He would have desired her had it not been for the clear manifestation of the power, of the proof of Allah Ta'ala within the heart of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ. Now this is how it happened, so that we may turn away from evil and indecency. إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Certainly Yusuf alayhi salam is from those chosen, those special servants, the meaning the Anbiya alayhi salam. And all Anbiya alayhi salam, as we know, are protected, divinely protected from sin. They don't commit sins. Yes, as a human being, at times there might be errors, might be a mistake, but we'll never translate the errors as a sin they have committed. Unlike the Christians who say, and we discussed this in the story of Adam alayhi salam, where they say the first sin committed by Adam, the first sin eating from the forbidden tree, that we totally say no, incorrect. It was a mistake. And inshallah, if we want a refresher on that, we can go back to the story of Adam alayhi salam and we can listen to it, where we went into great detail explaining why it was termed as a mistake and not a sin. Zulaykha, still not giving up. When a person is infatuated, when a person's nafs, desires, carnal passions overtake him, overtake her. And this is where it's so dangerous. Many a times, we think men desire they have to do with men, looking at women, seeing women. But ulama explain, and those that have studied the psychology of human beings, that when a woman has a desire, that desire is far more intense and greater than that of a man. Yes, a man's desire might come more often. And a woman might come more less. But that less in that woman, when it peaks, she needs to fulfill that desire. That desire becomes so intense that she can't shun it off. She wants to fulfill it. Zulaykha, where she finally decided, now, I'm giving into it. I can't hold back anymore. And she tried everything possible. واستبق الباب وقدت قميصه من دبر وألف يا سيدها لدى الباب. Many a times we send our daughters, our women folk, out in the public, out to mixed gatherings, out to the universities, where we know how dangerous it is, and then we want to know what went wrong, where they fell into this temptation. Whereas very, very beautifully, Quran Yus Patel rahmatullah alayhi says that we want to put our daughters into the rain and saying, oh Mawlana, please make dua she doesn't get wet. Make dua she doesn't get wet. It's going to happen. You can't ask for something That's what we'll say against logic, against the system. You're going into the rain, you're going to get wet. You're putting your hand in the fire, you're going to get burned. So don't now put yourself in the trouble and now say, please don't let it happen. So Zulaykha, what she did now? She closed the doors. All the doors were closed. Yusuf alayhi salam, understanding the circumstance, he started to run. He wanted to get away, showing again with his action. One is with his words he said it, and one was with his action he did it, running away from the sin, moving away. We what we'll do? No, I don't want to watch the movie. I don't want to listen to the music. We're saying it, but we're still seated there. We're still sitting. We're not moving away. I don't want to go for the mixed gathering. How can there be mixed gathering now in this marriage, in this walima? We're saying it, but we're still sitting in the hall eating the food. Our actions doesn't match up with our words. So Yusuf alayhi salam said, I can't do this. And now with his action, physically, started running away. And as he ran away, وَقَدَّتْ قَمِيصَهُ مِن دُبُرٍ she ran behind him, and Steiner grabbed him, grabbed his kurta, grabbed his shirt, and it tore. Can you imagine how tight she held on, and how much force he tried to run away? Two opposing forces, the shirt tore from the back. وَأَلْفَيَا سَيِّدَهَا لَلْبَابِ and they both came in front of, they both encountered the husband, the master, in front of that door, standing there. Now picture the scene, imagine the scene. He is standing in the front, and this is the beauty of Quran, this is the beauty of Quran and the lessons of Quran. If he is standing in the front, he will never be able to see that the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam is torn in the back. And he was in the house all the time. Yusuf alayhi salam was normally, like what we'll say, part of the furniture. So the minister wouldn't even have suspected anything. Because it's normal, maybe Zulaykha called him to bring her some water, to bring this here, or to do something. Normal, completely normal. But when a person is guilty, when a person is worried of being caught, then they start to utter words that perhaps if they never, they wouldn't have got caught. Perhaps if they never, they wouldn't have been in a predicament. But because now they're so tense, so pressurized, and they're worried, Zulaykha, what she said? قَالَتْ مَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ أَرَادَ بِأَهْلِكَ سُوءًا إِلَّا أَن يُسْجَنَ أَوْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ Zulaykha now, she put the claim forward. She put the allegation, the accusation against Yusuf alayhi salam, because she got worried. In her mind, she knows what was happening, but she failed to realize that her husband didn't know what's happening. And she tried to cover up. She asked, oh my husband, in other words, what is the punishment? What is the punishment for someone who intends evil with your wife? What is the punishment? What is the repercussions for someone who intends evil with your wife, except that he has to be imprisoned, or a great painful punishment upon him? So she asked the question and she gave the two options together with it. So imagine now the minister completely shocked that he might be even thinking, what's happening? Yusuf alayhi salam, he grew up in this house. First time ever I'm seeing such a thing, I'm hearing such a thing. And the minister, knowing Yusuf alayhi salam to be honorable, trustworthy, he might be even more flabbergasted, like, what is happening? And this is where we learn from the reply of Yusuf alayhi salam. قَالَ هِيَ رَاوَدَتْنِي عَن نَفْسِي وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا Yusuf alayhi salam said, it was she who tried to seduce me. It was her that tried to do the deed with me. Sometimes a person mistakes humility and humbleness with justice. Humility and humbleness is in its place. It's in its place. As we said, when Yusuf alayhi salam saw that bucket coming down in the well, he never say, oh me, never mind, I'll sit quiet, I'll mumble, sit away. No, the opportunity presented itself, he went for it. It was within what he needed to do. Now, when he's being accused, he won't say quiet, no, I'll be quiet and things will work out itself. Allah has given us the ability to defend ourselves. And for the truth, we have to defend ourselves. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he wouldn't have said this here. He wouldn't have even made it known, understanding firstly, this is the wife of the minister, that Shaitan got the better of her. And he never would want to hurt the heart of the minister by making it known that what your wife intended to do. But because Zulaikha already accused him, now he had no option but to defend himself. He never think, no, never mind, let me just admit to it, because I don't want to break the heart of the minister and make him think his wife did this to me. This no place in Islam. All these emotions and feelings doesn't come in Islam. We have to do what is just. So he defended himself. He said, rather she was the one that tried to seduce me. وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. And a witness from amongst them gave testimony. A witness, a family member gave testimony. So under the different explanations of this year, we find, and the one we will explain, is that with the minister came one of the family members of the minister, who was a senior, who was someone wise, and he heard this what happened, because he's standing with the minister, they're moving together, and he gave the solution. He said, إِن كَانَ قَمِيسُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ قُبْلٍ فَصَدَقَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ وَإِن كَانَ قَمِيسُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبْرٍ فَكَذَبَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Look how much wisdom was used here. What answer and what solution did he give? He said, if the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam, because now they all don't know who to believe, the wife is saying this is my wife, I trust her all my life. This is Yusuf alayhi salam, grew up in front of me, I understand his honesty, his trustworthiness. I'm in a catch 22 here. So we have to come up with a way to find out the truth. So he said, if the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam is torn, قُدَّ مِنْ قُبُلٍ فَصَدَقَتْ, if it is torn from the front, then she is speaking the truth. وَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ, and he is amongst the liars. He is the one lying. Now why is this statement mentioned like this? Because if Yusuf alayhi salam was the one going towards Zulaikha, as she claims, then she would have tried to fend him off and protect herself. And in doing so, she would have torn the front of his shirt in trying to push him away. Right? وَإِن كَانَ قَمِيسُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرٍ فَكَذَبَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. And if the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam is torn from the back, فَكَذَبَتْ, then she is lying. وَهُوَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ, and he is the one that is truthful. So we already understand that one there, because we explained the scenario where he was running away and she tried to catch him tearing the back. Can we see the divine plan of Allah? Can we see the divine plan of Allah Ta'ala? Imagine if nothing happened. If Yusuf alayhi salam just remains seated over there, trying to say, no, don't worry, talking away, and not himself trying to make an effort to get out of that sin, then this proof that was needed of his innocence wouldn't have been known. Now, imagine if the minister opened the door and found both of them seated like they're together, and now she made the accusation, Yusuf is trying to seduce me. There would have been no proof whatsoever to prove the innocence of Yusuf alayhi salam. Obviously, Allah Ta'ala will always defend his Nabi, will always defend the men of Allah Ta'ala. But we are talking about the situation here for us to understand the divine plan of Allah. There would have been nothing. And the minister, being his wife, would have ended up punishing Yusuf alayhi salam on trusting the word of his wife. But Allah made it such that Yusuf alayhi salam, with that iman in his heart, wanted to run away from that sin, and he ran. And that is what made that sign be visible as proof that it was Zulaikha that tried to seduce me. فَلَمَّ رَآ قَمِيسَهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرٍ. When they finally looked at the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam, and they saw it was torn from the back. It was torn from the back. And imagine, as we said, they didn't know it was torn in the back, because they're facing the front of Yusuf alayhi salam. So the solution that was given, it couldn't even have been said that this person saw Yusuf alayhi salam's back of his shirt is torn. Quran says now, falamma. That's why the wording of Quran. And when they saw, falamma ra'a. When they saw, Not that they already saw it. When now they decided to have a look. Oh, Yusuf, turn around. Remember, many of the things we are explaining in our own understanding, in our own words, so that it will make sense to our brains, breaking down the Quran into a simpler way for us to understand the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. So now when they saw it, and they saw it was torn from the back, قَالَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ كَيْدِكُنْ. The minister said, this is certainly a plot of you woman. إِنَّ كَيْدَكُنَّ عَظِيمٌ. Your plot is certainly dangerous. It's certainly great. That the woman, when they plot, is true. When a woman applies her mind, then how she can trick their husband? How she can trick the people? Because a woman got that nature of being trusted. With that soft tone, with that looks, with the way she handles the moment, a person falls for it. And they know how to use this body, the gift, the language that Allah has given them as a test for man. It's a test for us. The voice of a woman, the beauty of a woman, the movement of a woman, the sound of even the woman's shoes, it can't be denied. These are things that draw the desires within a man. So the plots of a woman is great. When they apply their mind, they can do anything. Anything. Likewise, when they apply their mind to greatness and goodness, families will be made. Children will be grown up to become the ambassadors of deen. The house will be kept a sanctity of happiness. So the minister said, understanding he is the minister, he knows he must be dealt with so many cases, that these plots of the woman is very great. That what you tried to accuse Yusuf for, what you tried to tell, you wanted to seduce him and now you're trying to turn the whole tables on him. Yusuf, أعرض عن هذا واستغفري لذنبك. So the minister turned to Yusuf alayhi salam. He said, oh Yusuf, please, whatever happened here, just let it be forgotten. Let it be forgotten. Because we can't let this here spread now. We can't let this go out to the town. People think my wife is unfaithful. The minister's wife, she'll get disgraced. Our family name, everything will be the talk of the town. We can't. So Yusuf, please, just let it pass. Let this moment be forgotten. وَاسْتَغْفِرِي لِذَنْبِكَ. And O you, Zulaykha, seek forgiveness for your sin. For this evil that you have intended and wanted to do, seek the forgiveness. إِنَّكَ كُنْتِ مِنَ الْخَاطِئِينَ. That definitely you are from those that committed this mistake, committed this sin. So seek forgiveness for this. Seek forgiveness for this. Now Yusuf alayhi salam, listening to his master, listening to the minister, he never disclosed what had happened, continued as normal. And the men of Allah, they don't look down upon people that commit sin. Hate the sin, not the sinner. Hate the sin, not the sinner. You'll see over and over, if Allah doesn't turn us away, who are we to turn people away? That we'll say this person is committing that sin is a write-off. There's no chance for him. Allah hasn't written him off. He still has life within him. He still has the ability to make tawbah and istighfar. So let us not write off anyone in our lives. That this person, there's no hope for him. No. But rather make dua and work and work and try and try. Never turn a person away. Because Allah Ta'ala can make that same sin enter our lives. While we thought, never I'll fall into zina. Never I'll fall into alcohol or pornography or whatever it might be. And because we look down at how can you do such a thing? Allah will make that enter our lives. It is only the protection and the mercy of Allah that we are protected from all these sins. Nevertheless, the story now, the incident of what happened, it somehow spread amongst the women of that locality, of that city. They came to know of it. They came to know what happened. Perchance, maybe, or perhaps, the workers within the palace, they heard of it, they knew some commotion happened, they heard of what happened. Or Zulaykha discussed it with someone, as we'll say, your best friend, close friend, who generally women tell all their stories to and say, don't tell anyone. And that person tells someone else and they say, don't tell anyone. And they tell another one, don't tell anyone. Eventually everyone knows everything. So how it spread and went out, that is in the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala. But this incident did spread out. And being a woman of honor, people are ever ready to try to bring you down. being in a position of authority, people are always there to see how they can run you down. وقال نسوة في المدينة امرأة العزيز تراود فتاها عن نفسه. The woman in the town now, they said that the wife of the Aziz, Zulaykha, she desired her slave boy. She wanted to seduce her slave boy for herself. قد شغفها هبة. Her heart is infatuated by his love. That her heart has been overtaken, has become crazy in love with him. إِنَّا لَنَرَاهَا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. We definitely see her as a fool. We see her in a total open misguidance. What the error. I mean, who will go for their slave boy? Like, they never even worry about the seduction part. Look at the wording of Quran. They never really worry that she tried to seduce a person. Their main concern was, they tried to seduce a slave. She tried to seduce her own slave. I mean, where's her honor? She can't be so low. She can't be so infatuated, so greedy, so crazy, that her own slave she wants to seduce. She wants to have relations with. So they started to make a mockery out of it. They started to make fun out of it. But Zulaykha, she knew the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. She understood it very well. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ. When she heard of all their stories, all their plots, all their plans, all this whispers amongst them, when it finally reached her, someone came and told her, you know what, this is what all the women are talking about, how you desired your slave boy. Now her sense of pride kicked in, her sense of honor kicked in. That, oh, they're speaking about me. They don't know what happened. They don't know who he is. I'll teach them a lesson. I will show them. Let me just prove to them. أرسلت إليهن. She called for them. وأعتدت لهن متكأ. She prepared for them a big party, a big feast, and she invited all these women. Oh, you women, come! The minister is giving a feast for all of you. Come and take part. Now, being called to the minister, you know, gonna be top food, gonna be top class entertainment. The way it's gonna be dished out, no one will want to miss it. So she called all of them. وَآتَتْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُنَّ سِكِّينًا. And when she called all of them, there was fruits, there was things to cut over there, so they had to be given knives. So she placed a knife and she told all of them at that moment, right now, y'all can go ahead and cut and eat y'all's food. We are ready to start feasting. And at that moment, look at the plan again. Remember what the Aziz says. إِنَّ كَيْدَكُنَّ عَظِيمٌ. Your plans of the woman is very great. Don't mess with them. Don't get on the wrong side. Look at this plot that she came up with. Invited everyone for this feast. Gave them the knives. Watching everything precisely for the correct timing. Now when they started cutting, having the fruit in one hand, the knife in the other hand, and they're cutting. وَقَالَتِ اخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنَّ. At that very moment, she summoned Yusuf alayhi salam. Say, oh Yusuf, come out. Oh Yusuf, come out and walk in front of them. Walk, turn, move. Keep moving in front of them. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ وَقَطَّعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُنَّ. When they saw him, when their gaze fell on him, when they saw what beauty, when they saw the figure of Yusuf alayhi salam, they became astounded. They became amazed. They lost their senses. They lost their senses. وَقَطَّعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُنْ. And they started to cut their hand. They started to cut their hand. You know, sometimes we hear of incidents and scenarios where a person who's going through trauma, who's going through depression, who's going through anxiety, and they're cutting. They say, don't put knives there by them. Don't put these dangerous objects. Because they don't even realize their body is so numb with that pain and that trauma, that they don't feel anything. So don't put the knives there by them. Because when they're going to cut, they might cut their hands, they don't even know it. It's like what we'll say, anesthetics. This look that they had upon Yusuf alayhi salam was this anesthesia that was given to them. It just made them numb. They were cutting, وَقَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ, and they ended up cutting their hands. They never even realized they cut their hands. وَقُلْنَا حَاشَا لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا. They said, what is this? Amazing. All for Allah. What is this? This is not a human being. Amazement, words of amazement. Hasha lillah. That Allah, Allah, what is this amazing creation of yours? This beauty. In hadha illa malakun kareem. He's definitely, he has to be some sort of noble angel. What looks that we have never set eyes on before. We have never seen such beauty before. And ended up cutting their hands. Now, imagine all of this here. It was the precise moment for Zulaykha now to get back at them. قَالَتْ فَذَلِكُنَّ الَّذِي لُمْتُنَّ نِيفِي She said to them, oh, okay. This is the same thing, the same person. You were blaming me. You were criticizing me. Look at y'all's hand. Y'all cut y'all's hand. You'll never even know y'all cut y'all's hand. Just by looking at him, y'all cut y'all's hand. So imagine myself. I am living with him day in and day out. In the same house as me. Can you imagine what feelings is going through me? What I want to do? Y'all cut y'all's hand, you never know. And you're blaming me for wanting to fulfill my desires. At least I'm better off than y'all. I never injure myself. I never hurt myself. Y'all did this, yeah. وَلَقَدْ رَاوَدَتْهُ عَن نَفْسِهِ فَاسْتَعْصَمْ I had tried to seduce him. I had tried to lure him and do the deed with him. But he refused. He abstained. Here was the admission of Zulaykha that she did it. She wanted to. And here, why was it such that she admitted it? One will say, why will she admit it now? Because she heard the talk. She saw what had happened. And now she felt brave. That now if I was to admit it, no one's going to blame me or look down upon me. They will understand why I wanted to do it. وَلَئِنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا آمُرُهُ لَيُسْجَنَنَّ وَلَيَكُونَ مِّنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ Again, Zulaykha tried to seduce him. And tried again to threaten him. That if he does not do now what I command him, if he does not do what I want him to do with me, he will become imprisoned and he'll be disgraced. He'll be amongst those that are humiliated. Zulaykha again trying to seduce him, trying to show that I still got the power and I still want to do it with you. If you don't listen to me, then be prepared for prison. Be prepared for a disgrace for your entire life. This was the threat that Zulaykha had given Yusuf alayhi salam. So if you don't fulfill it, prison and disgrace. Prison and disgrace. So in this reply, she wanted the sympathy of the woman to understand why she did what she did. And at the same time, trying to one final time again to do what she wants to do with Yusuf alayhi salam. Look at the reply of Yusuf alayhi salam. قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ Yusuf alayhi salam said, oh my Rabb, oh my sustainer, oh my nourisher, prison is more beloved to me. Prison is more beloved to me than what this woman is calling me towards. Than what they invite. مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ The wording of Quran. The wording of Quran. Quran never say what she is inviting. Quran uses the plural. What they invite me. Meaning that even the other woman presented themselves to Yusuf alayhi salam. Even the other woman presented themselves before Yusuf alayhi salam, wanting Yusuf alayhi salam for themselves also. And this is where Zulaykha also said, this is for me. It's for me. Now thinking the pressure of all the women wanting him, maybe now he'll give in. أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ Prison is more beloved to me. Let's finish off that ayat before we explain these wordings. وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ And talking to Allah, Yusuf alayhi salam said, oh Allah, if you do not turn their plot away from me, if you do not repulse it away from me, I will definitely be inclined towards them. And I will definitely become of the foolish, of those that have committed such a foolishness, such a disastrous sin. Again, turning to Allah, trusting in Allah, that it's not him that is protected by himself. As we know already, the Nabis are protected. But every Nabi still put themselves, their helplessness in front of Allah. Oh Allah, only you are the doer. Now look at the wording here. Sometimes people ask the question that why did Yusuf alayhi salam say prison? Yusuf alayhi salam could have said, oh Allah, anything else is far better for me than fulfilling this evil deed. Oh Allah, take me out of this house. Send me back to Canaan. Take me to another house. That's far better for me. Yusuf alayhi salam could have mentioned an easier alternative and means of him getting out of this problem. But Yusuf alayhi salam mentioned prison. To understand this, you'll understand the hatred and the steadfastness of Yusuf alayhi salam in the following example. A person has a fight with his brother, right? A person has a fight with his brother. And now they are going back home. They are going back home. And the road home is very dangerous. Very dangerous. So they're having a fight. And the brother tells him, you know what? If you don't say sorry, if you don't apologize, then you better walk home. You're going to walk home. You're going to walk home. On this dangerous road, you're going to walk home. A person now looking at that day, you know what? I'd rather just apologize, say I'm sorry. Otherwise, it's so dangerous for me this year to walk home on this dangerous path. I might die. Is it worth it for me to die? I'd rather just tell him, okay, sorry. I'll sit in the car again. Let's carry on. Or the person might have a better answer for him. He says, no. You think I'm going to walk home? I'm just going to call an Uber. I'll call an Uber. Uber will come pick me up. You go. But when a person replies and says, no problem, I'll walk home. You go. I'm not going to reply to you. I'm not sitting with you. I'm not going to give in. I will walk home on this dangerous road. That emphasizes the point of that person even more. That I am prepared to go through this danger, but I will never give in to your dictates. I will never give in to what you want. Whereas he could have given an alternative of that Uber, but if he done that there, then it would have shown some level of restraint, some level of giving in that I'm not prepared for to that extent to still fight with you. If that's the case, okay, I won't fight, and let's carry on. But I'm prepared still to that extent to walk on this dangerous home, this road, to maybe even be killed, be attacked. But I'll never give in to what you. That makes his point even more solid in the face of this person. So Yusuf alayhi salam, in saying that prison is more beloved to me, was emphasizing his point even more. That I will never give in to the sin. I will never give in to your dictates. I rather go to this prison where I'll be disgraced, where I'll have a hard time even. But understand very well, this what you are calling me towards, I will never do it. So can we understand now the wording of Quran, the beauty of Quran, and the beauty of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, teaching us these lessons for our life, that when we are adamant and we know we are doing the right thing, then never give up. Don't come to a point where we settle, but hold firm, hold fast, trust Allah, and Allah will show you the light at the end. What looks like so much of darkness, Allah Ta'ala will show you. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُنْ. Allah Ta'ala accepted this dua of Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala accepted it, and he turned away these plots of the woman, meaning Allah Ta'ala said, okay, fine, it's going to happen, you're going to go to prison now, and I'll turn it away that you'll be safeguarded from the evil of this woman. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Allah is the one that listens to everything. Allah knows everything. And as we said, for Surah Yusuf, we are going ayat by ayat, because the whole surah comes together. Unlike the other stories where we mention the story in different parts and we never read the ayats as such, but the lessons for Surah Yusuf are in the wordings of the ayat itself. Allah Ta'ala hears everyone. Allah hears the call. When we are in that difficulty, where we say we are in the lion's den, make that dua, because that is the dua that will be the most readily accepted. Because even in such a moment, you didn't forget Allah. Where your senses were not working, where your logic will not work, but even in such a moment, we did not forget Allah Ta'ala. ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا رَوُوا الْآيَاتِ لَيَسْجُنَنَّوْ حَتَّى حِينَ. After even knowing that people witnessed the truth, the honesty, the innocence of Yusuf alayhi salam, they all knew that he was innocent. They all knew the admission of the woman, the admission of the wife, of the king, of the minister. But now we'll say, to save face, to save honor and dignity of Zulaykha, he says, you are going now. You are going now into prison. You are going into prison. So by Yusuf alayhi salam going into prison, this was a form of the community, of the city, saying, ah, finally, maybe the trial is over. Maybe the court case came to an end. They got whatever proofs they wanted. And see, he's gone to prison. So he was guilty. And the woman were innocent. Zulaykha was innocent. So this had to be done now. Because, again, if stories went out of what had happened that night, in that party, in that feast, then people will talk even more. But if he was guilty, how is he still staying in the house where he tried to do the evil? If he was guilty, how the own minister never take justice for his wife? It will affect the whole family structure. It will affect the whole integrity will be compromised. The only way to try and do this was to send him to prison. By sending him to prison, then everything will be, say, swept aft under the carpet, put to bed. No one will question anything and life will carry on. This innocent Yusuf alayhi salam will have to suffer this consequences of the evil of this woman. But remember, the people of Allah, the men of Allah, what looks so difficult, there's always goodness in it. Whatever we might see, the Quran talks about it. Perhaps you love something, but it's evil for you. And perhaps something is evil for you. And perhaps something is good for you, but you hate it. We don't know. We don't know the plan of Allah. We do not know the wisdoms of Allah, but we know that we trust Allah. So look at it again. The roller coaster of the life of Yusuf alayhi salam, from the house of his father to the bottom of the well, to being picked up by a caravan, to being sold as a slave, to becoming part of the family, of the household, of the minister of Egypt. From there, being given a great test of the seduction. And from there, going into prison, back into a lowly life, back into a, what we'll say, a disgraceful life. That's why we say, the men of Allah, those who are closest to Allah, they have the greatest test. They are faced with the greatest tests. And from here, we will learn of what happens to Yusuf alayhi salam in prison. And we'll see what looked like the end of the life of Yusuf alayhi salam. That from here, how he's ever going to come out. What can ever happen to bring him out of here, where the person who is the one in charge of what we'll say the courts of the town, he is the one that put him in. How can that ever be such? So inshallah, Allah Ta'ala gives us life. Next week we will discuss Yusuf alayhi salam part 3, and we will start off with Yusuf alayhi salam in prison, hearing the very interesting dreams of those in prison had, and the dream of the king, and how all this was part of the divine plan of Allah Ta'ala to elevate Yusuf alayhi salam to such a rank that would never have been thought possible. May Allah Ta'ala accept it from us. May Allah Ta'ala let us live these lessons and bring them in our lives, so that we may all benefit from the beauty of Quran, from the beauty of the life of Yusuf alayhi salam. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanakallah wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.